are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
I just love that intro. Every time I hear it, I know it's time. It's time for another Dovetails. Well, hello, 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 and welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. Praise God, because the old has gone and the new has come. This is the year of new beginnings and a year of hope, restoration, replenishment, and being refreshed. This year, we have a wonderful lineup of guests for you to learn from, but make no mistake, for these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. How grateful I am, because each weekend I continue to learn and be amazed at what God is capable of when humanity welcomes him into their lives. Oh, what God can do with a willing heart is simply remarkable. So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus Christ before, consider hanging out with us this sweet and sunny afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guest in order to discover the truth together. And if it's your first time tuning into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry birthed from my pain, my tears, my divorce, and my healing when I surrendered to God's process. There is a misconception that time is the thing that heals all wounds, but I'm here to tell you folks that time doesn't heal anything. Time only tells. But it is only God who heals. It's only God who covers and loves mankind unconditionally. DCL Ministries is about allowing God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you want to join the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest, read the thought-provoking articles, and all about the featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And if you're looking for a wonderful read for the new year, yes, 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 check out my newly released book titled The Women God Used. And that's available on Amazon.com in paperback or in Kindle. And allow me, if you can, to just linger for a moment longer, because I'd love to read you an excerpt from my book. Women are such fascinating creatures, and if you don't believe me, have a disagreement with one of them, and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree. We can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, adorable, submissive, assertive, bossy, dominating. But to our credit, we are also cute. We're cuddly. We're compassionate. We're nurturing. We're supportive and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are, as a species, complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used are also clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These biblical women forged a dynasty in biblical history and now grace the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you were not aware, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension and, despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and due to time constraints had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they are also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever, ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord, and through his guidance, changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues, problems, and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps, with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby, because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes, you are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional. But sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am woman. Now hear me roar." Therefore, it's time to pay some respect to the women God used. The women God used is about women learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is so very excited to have the lovely overcomer, author, and divorce care facilitator, Rachel Kidder, on our show today. So I want you to sit back, I want you to relax and enjoy while I unpack the extraordinary dovetail of this extraordinary woman. Hang in there with us. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
This is Catherine Muse, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on!
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back on this sunny Sunday afternoon. So glad the sun is out. I can't wait to wear my flip-flops. Anyway, we are so glad you decided to tune in because we have a wonderful, wonderful woman of God with us today. Rachel Kidder is a retail programs administrator at a bank and has been in the banking field for 12 years. Rachel is also the author of Healing Grace Scripture Journal, 30-Day Bible Study Journal for Emotional Healing. She is one of two lead facilitators for divorce care at a local church, which is a Christian-based support group helping those who are separated or divorced heal and overcome from the difficulties associated with such an emotional experience. Being someone who had gone through divorce herself with one child, she takes that knowledge from her past along with her own healing journey to aid those in rebuilding their lives with a focus on Christ as the ultimate healer. So please, please, please help me welcome to Dovetails author, divorce care facilitator, and blogger of Revive House, a community centered around the Word of God, focusing on love, encouragement, revival, prayer, and hope. Please help me welcome to the show, Rachel Kidder. Hi, Rachel.
Hello. Thank you so, so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're just a sweetheart. I think you're America's sweetheart. That's what I'm going to call you. They have that term in Hollywood, but I'm taking it. Well, I know that I have to say again, and I've expressed this to you before, Rachel, your testimony, it just hits straight to the heart of my even my own testimony. I know that what you've gone through, what you've endured, what the Lord has laid on your heart and helped you to understand is going to help others do the same. Here at Dovetails, Rachel, we love to start at the beginning. And I remember I watched this movie one time called Vanilla Sky. I mention this every weekend, but it really is the cornerstone of what this ministry is about and what Dovetails is about. And there was a line in this movie, Vanilla Sky, that really just took me right straight to my own heart and said, wow, God. And the line was, the sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter. And I thought, wow, you know, we live in a world where we're always told to put our best foot forward. And, you know, before you know it, you're always doing that. And no one actually sees the full picture, the whole picture. And the beauty of God's testimony, the beauty of us being a witness is that we can share with others the full picture. So with that being said, we're going to start at the beginning. And Rachel, did you grow up in a home that acknowledged Jesus Christ?
I did grow up in a home that acknowledged him. We went to church for a while. I have three older siblings. So we went to church for a while when I was young, and then we ended up going to other people's homes. That was pretty much our church. We would kind of visit other homes, and we had our own little church going on. It was actually really great. We did that for I'm probably going to have to say until I was about 10. And then I ended up going to church with my next-door neighbors because they went every week. I did that for a few years, but basically by the time I was going to church with them, I went to socialize and really nothing more. I was like, yeah, you get to see my friends, and I really didn't get the depth of God. Even when I was very young, I didn't understand a relationship with him. You know, we memorized Bible verses and stuff like that, but I never understood his love for me. And his relationship that he has with me. And I didn't consider him a father, you know, like I do now. So by the time I believe I was about 13, I just kind of gave it all up and went my own way. And I knew I believed in God as a teenager, but I didn't really care. And it just kind of went downhill from there, I guess.
You've said some powerful things. If you don't mind, I'm going to highlight some of them for our listeners.
Sure.
I love that you said that you grew up in a home that recognized Jesus Christ. You're the first person, Rachel, on the show to actually talk about home church, going to different people's home. And I'm telling you, there's someone out there listening. That was for you. You're thinking
That's right.
Oh my goodness, I don't have a church home. And, you know, and it's crazy because we have this misconception that church are the walls. You know, in the New Testament, we really always take a look at the Samaritan woman and Jesus at the well. But one thing that she says that is such a misconception, she says, you Jews say that where we need to worship is the temple. And Christ says, wait a minute, you're missing the point. The church is people. The people.
Yes.
So
doesn't matter where
it
is.
I hope you heard that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just saying it doesn't matter where it is, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about
the people
and coming, and being before God.
Yeah, and the fellowship and the community, right? So I love that
completely.
You said that. I love that you said that. And then the whole idea that I wanted to just talk about for just a brief moment, or maybe you can lend a little bit more to it, that we can also go to church and start socializing. Many of you out there, you're brought up in a family, you go to church every Sunday, but you really have the heart posture that church is like a maybe a country club. And you go and you have your coffee and they're serving snacks. And what you're missing, which is what Rachel talked about, is the relationship. Can we just take a moment to dig into that? Like, you know, you actually recognizing that now, what advice could you give to someone maybe that is, you know, thinking, oh, well, you know, I believe in God because every time I go, I mean, I have my snacks, I sit and I listen, I memorize scripture.
Yeah.
But that's not a relationship.
And that's the thing. Right. It became very mechanical. That's what it was. I was just going and hanging out, and I didn't actually spend the quality time that I should have. And I think for people that are doing that, I almost feel like, and this is really, really hard because I had a very hard time with that. It's almost like you have to get out of your comfort zone of what is familiar with you and the people that are familiar with you, because sometimes your greatest blessings are from people that you wouldn't even suspect. So it's almost like one of those things you have to kind of break out of your shell and talk to people that you don't know. I ended up doing that, and I met the most, at this point in my life, met the most amazing people. And one particular woman, she was definitely like a mentor to me, and I'd go see her weekly. And it was just, it's fabulous. But it's when you get stuck in those familiar places that you see the same people and do the same thing. You kind of have to break out of your shell. And also be courageous enough also to ask people to pray for you too. Because I think sometimes we feel very content where we are. We don't realize that we could have so, so much more. So it's just being able to realize that and to open up and ask the Lord to just to meet you in a new way, you know. So bring somebody, and you know, I pray for this, Lord, please bring me somebody in my life that can, you know, let me know you better, that can help me to know you better, you know, open doors that will bring a new, you know, a new.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a new perspective, just a new thought.
Yeah, right.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, did I not tell you I was bringing a contender? Did I not tell you that?
Oh.
I hope you're taking notes. I hope, you know, when you said, Rachel, don't be afraid to ask someone to pray for you. We are in a society and in a world that conditions us not to ask for a gift. You know, you're on welfare. You know, ask somebody for help. I mean, that just shows that you're weak. But,
right.
But asking for help doesn't show that at all.
Right.
Out of curiosity.
I used to be like that. Sure.
No, go right ahead.
I was going to say, I used to be like that. You know, just like, I can do it on my own. You know, I don't need anyone's help. I don't need God's help. I'm fine. Like, no.
No, I'm fine, right?
You know?
That's a classic.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah. No. Oh, I love that. I love the sensitivity of it. It sounds so easy, but it really is difficult to ask someone, you know.
Yeah, it really is.
To be in a position
completely.
To receive, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you know what? As a young lady, how do you think your parents and friends would describe you when you were younger?
When I was younger, I was super bubbly. I still am. But bubbly, I was nice, I was caring. Pretty funny, I think. I think so. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my parents, I was definitely not the best. It's like, you know, I was rebellious and I was a kid and I was, you know,
mm-hmm.
selfish and whatnot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, for my parents,
no, I asked what they would question. Go ahead. We're tripping over each other.
I'm sorry. You can go ahead. It's okay.
No, I was just going to say that I asked this question because, you know, sometimes how we see ourselves and how others see us are two different things. And then it's also really great for the listeners to just hear that you are a human being. Just because we love the Lord or we become people that really want to witness to what he's done in our life, we're still rebellious, still selfish.
Mm-hmm.
We're still funny. We're still bubbly.
Yep.
We're still caring. Right?
Right. Yeah, so true. Yep. One thing, though, that when I was younger that people really didn't, I don't think that they knew about me, is that I was very much a follower. And I had such a need to be liked and to be wanted. I remember my mom used to tell me, Rachel, you don't know how to say no. And it was true because I would do anything to gain acceptance. And I don't know why that was brought on. And I don't know if something like that was noticeable to people, but it was even apparent to me then.
You were not alone.
That was one of the, and that was one of the things that really brought me deeper and deeper away from, or farther and farther away from the Lord. Was that need to be wanted by anybody but him, because I didn't know him.
Oh, I know you out there listening. You heard that. A need to be accepted, a need to be liked, people pleaser.
Yeah. And completely.
It actually brings me to my next question. It's a good segue, because we live in a society, Rachel, where folks, especially young people, well, you know what? Everybody, they travel in groups. Everything is about groups. You think in a group, you make decisions as a group, like group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm reminded, but when the world started, it was only Adam. Then he added Eve. It was, you know, it really, to me, is indicative of why we need a personal relationship before he adds all the other thoughts and influence into our lives. I wanted you to talk about, you know, with everything in this world being such a group setting, why is it so important for us not to miss that you actually need a personal relationship with the Lord? And you sort of kind of been talking about that, but I kind of want us to hit that for those of us to hear that we really do need that personal relationship with Christ.
Completely. I think the first thing that comes to my mind is I didn't have a love for myself, and I didn't know what true love was. Of course, my parents loved me, but I really didn't know that love for myself because I didn't realize how much God loves me. And that's something that I know now, but at the time, you know, I was so worried about screwing up and scared about everything, and I want to be liked, and I want this, and I want that, because I would just had so much I didn't realize how special I was the way that I was. I had to be somebody else, but in God's eyes, he made me perfect from the beginning. And he loves me the way that I am, regardless of my faults. You know, his grace, luckily, is absolutely amazing. But I think because I didn't know the love of the Lord and that relationship with him, I didn't realize it definitely was a void that I was trying to fill with people that no person could ever fill except for, you know, the Lord.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Praise the Lord. I hope you heard that out there. Many times running to people for answers to questions that only God can give us. And, it, you know, we're born with that hole. We're born with that void. And many times we're looking outside of ourselves to fill it. And I hope you're hearing what Rachel is saying. She didn't quite understand the love of God. She memorized scripture. She went to church. She attended the home Bible study. She didn't have a relationship. And any of you out there that maybe you're struggling, learn to talk to God like you do to your friends. He's listening and he loves it. He loves it because he wants to build that friendship with you. Before we go to a short commercial break, I want to read from the Gospel of James, or excuse me, not the Gospel, but the Book of James, before we go into talking about marriage with Rachel. I wanted you to hear some of these thoughts that are in her mind, because if you're listening and you're really starting to tie together how it deals with either our marriage, our friendships, our coworkers, you know, keep in mind, Rachel was a people pleaser. And that doesn't just go away because you get married, or that doesn't just go away because you get the job of your dreams, or that doesn't just go away because you move into the neighborhood that you wanted. So I want to read this scripture because it's really important that we hear this. And this is James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. So we're going to take a really short commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into some of these layers about marriage. We are talking to the fabulous Rachel Kidder. And she is not only an author, but she is one of two lead facilitators for divorce care at her local church, which is a Christian-based support group. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Hi, I'm Sherry with a Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
We are back, and we are talking to the fabulous Rachel Kidder. Rachel Kidder, who is a retail programs administrator for a bank, she's also the author of Healing Grace Scripture Journal, 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. And please, 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 if you are struggling with separation or divorce, you got to check out her blog, Revive House. It's a beautiful blog, and it's got articles such as I Am the Only Church You Need, Found, Looking Beyond, and Be Who God Created You to Be. Check out her website at www.revivehouse.com. Well, prior to the break, we've been learning a little bit about Ms. Kidder. So we're going to continue this journey. We're going to continue unpacking this journey with her. And we're going to dive into divorce, because we're going to dive into marriage actually first, but then divorce. Rachel, I want to start with in regards to dating. I can't help but think of in the Bible, many people struggle with who to choose as their date, who to gravitate towards. And I'd like to begin with that, because when we look at the Bible, we look at the Word of God, we look at the patriarchs in the Bible. Abraham, he was already married to Sarah. So they're really, the Bible doesn't reveal their courtship. We see Jacob, he chose Rachel. But, you know, do we know that God chose Rachel for him? I don't know. And I question that, because as we really look at the Word of God, Leah was buried with him when he passed. And and the covenant actually went through Leah's fourth son, so Judah. So it's sort of just very interesting. And you know, when we really take a look at, well, who does God want for me? So I can't help but wonder for you, what drew you to your husband? What were the things, your dating patterns? What drew you there?
Honestly, he was nice to me. Hmm. That was the main thing. He was a nice guy. And I was a serial dater. And I couldn't find happiness. So I would have, you know, I was just trying to find that with anybody I could, you know. Not sexually with everyone, but just attention-wise. Mm-hmm. And I would not choose the right people. And again, it came down to just being loved and being, or quote unquote loved, or being liked. So when I met my ex-husband, a friend introduced us, and he was a really great guy. He was so nice. He was just a good person. So just from that, I said, okay. I didn't care. I didn't know really the Lord or pay much attention, so I didn't care about, you know, what he believed or anything. It was mainly, he was a nice guy, and I wasn't treated very nice sometimes, so I was like, you know what, I'll take it. So I settled, and he still is a wonderful person, but I settled for somebody God really, I don't believe he intended for me, and somebody that I didn't really know, you know. With meeting him, I brought all of my baggage with me, that I never, you know, I never went to go really see anybody. I did for a short time, a therapist to see if I could get some help, but, this was after we were married, and that wasn't helping. So I just brought too much brokenness into something. Whereas if I always think, if we had the Lord as the center of our marriage, and if I got the help that I needed, and if I had the Lord, that would have happened, maybe we still would be married. But it started off from my end just on the wrong foot, unfortunately. So
Rachel, no, thank you for just being transparent with that. For just, you know, what I love that you shared, that you kept saying how wonderful he was. I hope many of you out there, you're listening. You know, I think it's very, we do this a lot, whether it's men or women. We blame the spouse, right? That they did this and they did that. But what's so interesting, I want you to see the thread that's happening here. If you tuned in just now, Rachel, prior to our commercial break, has revealed that she knew God. She absolutely knew God. She memorized scripture. She's in this family that recognizes Jesus Christ. But really, it was kind of like, I don't have a relationship with you. I never recognized the love that God had for me. So those of you out there listening, when you don't go to the source to give you your character, understanding, wisdom, discernment, what it is, you will go out into the world looking for what God actually already can provide you. What happens is, a lot of you, we don't go out whole. We go out partially whole. We love the movie Jerry Maguire, You Complete Me. No, no, no. Don't put the weight on the other person. God completes you. You know, Holy Spirit told me, you're telling too many things, Deborah, to your husband that can bring him down. You know, tell it to me. I can help you. You know, so I want you to hear what Rachel is saying. she came sort of just not whole. And understand this, when you don't know wholeness, you're looking for a nice guy. He treated me nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not someone that's for your ministry, not someone that's going in the way that God has raised you up to be. He's nice. He's nice. Truth be, I don't actually nice, that word nice isn't even in the Bible. Interestingly enough,
true.
Right? And many of you out there, you're looking for attention. You based choosing your spouse on attention. So I just want you to hear mm-hmm. those things that Rachel is saying and just, mm-hmm. you know, learn from her testimony. Rachel, you know, you talked within the marriage, but talk to us about any red flags that you saw, even within yourself, within your marriage and kind of when you saw it coming to its demise.
Yeah. Well, we never communicated. Mm-hmm. We never spoke. He's a quieter person, but he does talk, but we just never communicated. I came from a non-communicating life, and he was the same way. So together, it was just not working. And we had my daughter, I believe, a couple years after we got married. And it was one of those things we were going through. We thought that would fix it. You know how they say, like, oh, well, I'll get married. It's the white picket fence. You know, it's the next step, so I have to. And then when you have a hard time, well, you need something to fix it, right? So instead of leaning on the Lord, it's like, well, let's have a kid because I'm sure that will be okay, you know.
Mm.
So, of course, we had my daughter, which she is such a blessing. She's 10 now. But, you know, we had her, and, of course, short time after, it went back to the way it was. We weren't talking. You know, even his mom, she's like, do you guys ever speak? So it was noticeable. And eventually, after doing that for so many years, I personally couldn't take it anymore, because I was the kind of person, I liked attention for mm-hmm. many years of my life. It's like, somebody like me, somebody pay attention to me. And here I am in a marriage where I can't even, you know, really get that with my husband. He was mm-hmm. wonderful, but it was me too. You know, it was mm-hmm. a mutual thing that it wasn't connecting. We didn't have any solid foundation. You know, we were both good people, but two good people don't mean that it's going to be some glorious thing. So we just, I was the one that brought it to him that we should do something, you know, that I couldn't do it anymore. Because I'd never, mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting, I've never felt so lonely and been wow. and not being alone. I didn't know that was a thing, that you could not be alone but be so lonely.
Hmm.
But again, that now looking back, and I say that now and again in divorce care, and it's one of those things, like, I could be completely alone for the rest of my life, but I have God now.
Hmm.
So just having God is more than enough. But the fact that I was missing him then, nothing could fill that, you know?
Hmm.
There was no, it was just empty. So, yeah, so I ended up separating, and, yeah, so it was incredibly tough. It was the hardest decision, because he was such a good person and such
wow.
a good father, but I was so broken and so
wow.
lonely.
Mm. I'm telling you, you're saying some powerful, powerful things here. I just want to extend out to anyone that's listening, if you've gone through a divorce, maybe you're going through a separation, maybe you're just confused, feel free to call in. I mean, this is a group chat. You know, I talked about group things. Well, this is a group chat. So, you know,
amen.
Call in 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. And we can just, you know, no one here is an aficionado of anything. So we're just here, you know, sharing our own experiences and hoping that as a listener, you're able to glean something from it to help you going forward. I want to just highlight something that Rachel said. You know, she talks very much about attention. And you have to understand, many of you out there, if you marry your spouse for attention, do you realize he or she would have to give that to you for the duration? How is it possible?
Amen.
And then what happens is you leave the spouse because you're not getting attention, and you seek another. Can you imagine at this point, it could be a coworker that just basically says good morning to you in a particular way, and you're like, I got the attention. You can't live like this. God has to fill your cup. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is when you go out whole, that's where God can actually allow you to encounter your spouse. I want to highlight, again, I talked about the patriarchs, but I want to highlight we have Abraham, we have Isaac, and we have Jacob. But Isaac, I thought this was so brilliant. Abraham prays, God, please, please, I need you to find my son's wife. And I'm sending out my servant. So he sends out the servant being an obedient man of God, an obedient person to his master. He actually prays. And he says, and as he prays for his master's son's wife, God actually sends the woman. He says, if you're going to show me who this woman is, please have her come up to me and, you know, maybe she'll give me water. Maybe she'll actually water my animals. Don't you know God sent Rebecca? A lot of times when we put it in the Lord's hands to actually send who it is that we're going to be with for the duration of our lives, do you know that person's going to not only glorify God, but they're going to support you and love you as you discover who you are in Christ? Do you know that? Oh, I mean, it's so powerful. So I want you to hear some of those things that, you know, sometimes we're looking for these pleasures and we're looking for these things outside of ourselves. But God says, come to me. Come to me. Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. This is what Rachel's speaking about. So, Rachel, I want to jump to, because divorce and separation have so many layers, and you ended, you know, what you were saying with you got separated. And I have to be honest, when I got separated, I never knew that it would be that difficult.
Not at all.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. None of you out there, you are separated. It's horrible. And mm-hmm. I call it the limbo stage, and I'm sure a lot of people call it that. But let's talk about this limbo stage, because you know, there's so much that has to do with separation. And I want you all to know that God also hates separation. It, you know, understand how grieved he was when he had to tell Adam and Eve to leave the Garden of Eden. Make no mistake, he was grieved. Make no mistake about that separation. And you know, God understands within separation that I pray that while you're out there, you're going to miss me. That perhaps you'll come back to me. Maybe one day you'll wake up and realize what you did wrong, and you'll come back and say you're sorry, or you'd understand how much I loved you. How did you allow what comes in between us to distance you from me, the love that has always been there for you? So let's talk about this separation. Talk to us about your separation, and you always emphasize the emotional struggle. Talk to us about that.
Yes. Well, of course, 13 seconds probably after I moved into my own place, I was online on dating sites because I couldn't be alone. Like, wait a minute, I'm alone now. So
right.
I can't do that.
Right.
So, and within a few weeks, I met somebody and we started dating, and a horrible situation happened, and this situation actually led me to the Lord. but before that happened, I mean, you can go into generalized separation, which is, like you said, just horrible. You're trying to find yourself. You know, you're broken. Financially, it's difficult. And it's hard, and it's a very lonely place. Probably within the first year, after that bad situation happened with this person, I luckily found the Lord, and I went to church, and the first day I went to church, there was an announcement that says divorce care starts next week. I was like, well, that's fitting. So I signed up, and, it's just gone from there. But unfortunately, I think the Lord knew what it would take, or at least he used what the enemy had done to bring me to him. And with how my life was, I was like, ah, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. And it got to a point where I was not fine at all. And he met me literally in that place. And I'll never forget it, ever. So, and from there, it was still a struggle. I had severe depression and anxiety, but it was never as bad as that moment. Literally, it was a moment where he met me, where it was just, I was mentally tormented. And it's just, you know, it took a couple years, but it's just gotten better and better from there. It's just been a blessing. I would never, ever want to go through it or want anyone to go through it. But I needed that to get to where I am today.
I'm telling you, you know, the things that you're saying today, Rachel, I just identify with personally, and I agree. I join you on that quest to not have anyone else go through what we have gone through, what men and women have gone through. This is just not a woman thing. This is divorce is
correct.
Is honestly just an experience that, I mean, you know, I remember thinking later, wow, even my worst enemy, I wouldn't put that on. And it's funny, I think of God's divine math, two becoming one. And many of you out there, when you have a divorce, you understand that's ripping. If two becomes one and God sees it as a union, that means you're ripping something from you, you know, or or however it actually happens, you know. My ex-husband had an affair, had a baby with another woman outside the marriage. Mm-hmm. I still wanted the marriage. And we got separated, and I did start dating. But those of you out there, you know, God shows you, and if you're really trying to please the Lord and you're trying to find him, hear what Rachel is talking about. The beauty of God is he comes to where you're at, but the promise is he doesn't leave you where you stand. That's the promise.
Amen.
But he surely will come to where you're at. All these things, you know, God really speaks to us, you know, in the Bible, he speaks to us anthropomorphically. He uses human-like things so that he can relate to us. Make no mistake, he'll come to where you're at. He surely will do it. But here, you know, it's at this point, it's like I started dating, and I tell you, and I don't know if anyone out there relates, the breakup from the dating was worse than my divorce.
Worse. Amen. Completely.
It was just compounded, right?
Completely, because it's just you bring more problems into already a terrible problem. It's like, you know, and we tell people, I mean, this is a whole part of divorce care too, what we help with people too. It's like, you know, here I ran to men to try to not be alone, and it almost ruined my life. Like, looking back, we need to find the Lord and find ourselves, because when we separate or divorce, we've spent years or however many amount of time learning how to, you know, be a partner with somebody. You almost lose who you are, you know, by yourself. It's like you almost have to find out, well, what do I like to do? I don't even know. We used to do this all the time. We used to do that. What do I do now? So taking that time by yourself to learn who you are, learn who you are in Christ, and then when you're ready, that person will come along. But it's until then, it's like you really have to get to know yourself and, you know, get to know the Lord, because there's so much more that he wants to show you that I'm sure he doesn't want to get clouded by, you know, distractions from the outside. You know, it's like fully healed. I never healed. I just moved on and, oh, I'll be fine. Like, that was my medicine, is to not be alone. It just can't be like that.
Are you listening out there? Are you listening out there? I hope you hear that. I hope you hear that, you know, sometimes we just have to stop And we have to just say, you know what? I need this moment to just take care of Rachel. I need this moment to just take care of Deborah. That another person complicates it. And understand that while God is healing you, do you realize your desires for what you want in a spouse will change? As you heal, I'm telling you, look back and say, how did I 100%. Ever? What was
yes,
I thinking?
Yes.
I'm 100%. Not even attracted to them anymore. It's insane.
Right.
Yes. It is. But one thing I'd like to add to what Rachel is saying is this. When I went through my separation, God brought me to the place in the Bible where the Israelites, I mean, God is for the Israelites. He's trying to get them to the land of Canaan. He's trying to get them to the promised land. So, of course, you know, we know when the book of Judges come, rather than the Israelites going and taking over so that they could take over the land of Canaan, they dwell there. And, of course, their enemies rise up over them and they cry out to the Lord and the Lord sends a judge. And then that's where you have the book of Judges, where you have Samson and Deborah, actually. And, you know, you have all these judges. So long story short, they start to be like, well, we want to be around the nations. We want to be like the nations around us. And I remember in the Bible there, in the book of Samuel, Samuel's upset because he's like, they want a king. And they choose Saul. That's the first king. They choose Saul to be their king. And Samuel's really upset. He goes to the Lord and he's like, I'm upset. Like, you know, and God says, don't be upset. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. And what the Lord brought into my spirit, God said, never, ever put a man, never put a man where I'm supposed to be. Never put humanity, you know, they wanted so much for a king. And God says, after all I've done, you won't choose me as your king? But God says this to Samuel, warn them, because where you will have a king, you'll start to have slavery. That power and status is going to be a part of your lifestyle. But if you choose me, I won't deal with you like that. But, you know, humanity, as the same as us individually, we have to go through brokenness so that we can see the light. And any of you that have read Genesis, God hovers over the formless planet. And then he separates light from darkness. And sometimes we have to understand it's in us. He will do the same. Separate it so he can create. But we're going to take a really, 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 really short break. And when we come back, I'm going to have Rachel talk to us about divorce care. What is divorce care and why is it good for you? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Let's get cooking. Yari Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattyCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattyCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hey y'all, this is your bro, Robbie Newborn. You are tuned in to the Dovetails radio show, hosted by the truest, straightforward, God-fearing, loving host, Deborah Lassiter. So stay blessed, stay tuned. Come on, y'all.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back. We're so blessed to have Rachel Kidder with us today. Please, as we interview her, we come to the end of our interview today. Check out her website. Revive House is her blog. You can see that at www.revivehouse.com. You also can reach out to her on Facebook at www.facebook.com/TheReviveHouse. This blog is so beautiful, and you're going to get some thought-provoking articles on there. I Am the Only Church You Need is the title of one found, Looking Beyond, and Be Who God Created You to Be. Rachel, I want to talk about divorce care. What is it?
Divorce care is basically, it's worldwide, so they have them, and even nationally, there's many, many churches that offer this, but it's a support group to help people that have been divorced or separated, and there's no limit for men and women. You could be divorced for 20 years or 2 days. It doesn't matter. So it just brings people together that have gone through the same thing to help them get through their journey. And it's a 13-week course. So basically every week it focuses on something different. You know, there's forgiveness. There's, you know, what am I going through? There's stages of grief. There's, you know, just different things that people will go through or have gone through on the journey of trying to be recovered from divorce or separation. So it's an amazing ministry, but it's wonderful that you get to spend time with people that have gone through the same thing as you, so you're not alone, because it's a very lonely thing. It's a very lonely feeling to go through something like this. So to be able to meet people that kind of know what you're going through is amazing, and you get to see both sides of it. I mean, there's the people that left. There's the people that got left, that got cheated on, that, you know, vice versa. So you really see the full spectrum of what people go through when something like this happens. It was very hard for me at first because I was the leaver. I didn't have an affair, but I was the one that left. And, you know, to some people, it's like, wow, you know, because they're hurting and they just had somebody leave them. So it was very hard at first for me going through that, but it was so rewarding now because you really get to see both sides, you know, you get to see, you know, they got to, and me in particular, they got to see me who it was a horrible thing, regardless of that I left or got left. People, you know, it hurts and people go through different things. So it's really been a blessing, and now I'm a facilitator myself, but it's been amazing. And the people that I meet even now help me so much, because it's just very humbling to really see these people, and it's just so moving, and they still teach me different things, you know, of how to make myself better. And it's just been such a blessing.
Well, I pray today that those of you listening, that you too were blessed today. We're at the end of our program, and please, if you're going through something and you're struggling, reach out to a church or the church that you're in. Chances are they do have a divorce care group. I went to divorce care. I have to tell you, I was crying within a meeting, and I had to stop. I had stopped crying so that I could hear some devastation that someone else was going through. I was like, oh my gosh, I think their situation is worse than mine. So keep learning, remain coachable. Please check out Rachel's book. Oh, please, it's a great book, Healing Grace Scripture Journal, 30-day Bible Study Journal for Emotional Healing, and also check out her blog, Revive House. Again, at www.revivehouse.com. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being on our show today. I know I need to have you back. That's a given. And to unpack some more of your testimony, but also to do a couple other things with you, I think. I would like to end this program reading from a book very quickly, The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit. And this is by amazing author Watchman Nee. The Bible speaks of ointment of pure nard. God's word purposely uses the adjective pure. It is ointment of pure nard, something truly spiritual. Unless the alabaster flask is broken, however, the ointment of pure nard cannot be released. It is strange that many people appreciate the alabaster flask. They think that the flask is actually more precious than the ointment. Many people think that their outer man is more precious than their inner man. This is the problem facing the church today. We may treasure our own wisdom and think that we are quite superior. Another person may treasure his or her emotions and also think that he or she is quite outstanding. Many people treasure themselves. They think they are much better than others. They think their eloquence, their ability, their discernment, and their judgment are better. But we are not antique collectors. We are not admirers of alabaster flask. We are those who are after the aroma of the ointment. If the outer part is not broken, the inner part will never be released. We will have no way to go on, and the church will have no way to go on. We no longer should be so protective of ourselves. The Holy Spirit has never stopped working. Many people can testify that this work has never stopped in them. They face one trial after another, encounter one incident after another. The Holy Spirit has only one goal in all of his disciplining work, to break and dismantle the outer man so that the inner man can come forth. Until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.